Welcome to the City Point Church podcast. Thanks for joining us. Every day is an opportunity to take hold of. So we hope this message inspires you and builds your faith, that it helps you have more of a God perspective for your day. Enjoy.
This is why it's the title of the message this morning for those who love to take notes. And I'd love to get a show of hands of who came and heard last week's word, "This is us." Many of you, incredible, because we're a huge, a great, incredible, strong community together. This is us. The reason I ask that is because if you didn't hear last week's message, we would love to let you know that there are other ways in which you can actually go back and listen. We understand some people work on Sundays and for different commitments, sometimes see themselves out of the house on a Sunday morning. And so you can actually access all of our messages on a forum called Podbean. It's a great app in which there are all of the messages from City Point North. Can I encourage you, go and have a listen, because some of the messages that we unpack are not to be done as a single message, but they actually go together beautifully, packaged together. And so it's great to remind our spirits and go over the word and even go and explore it and unpack it a little further, because the word of God allows us to do that. You can go into the passages in which we bring out and go and read around them. What was the context to the stories and what was happening in that time in the Bible that would give you revelation for your life? Because every single one of us has an influence or a sphere of influence in our world that we've been called to for this time, for this season in history. I love that we brought out today a prophecy spoken so many years ago about the time that you and I are living in today. Did anybody catch that? So long ago, an incredible man of the faith spoke a word over you and I. He spoke a word over you and I about a move that would happen out of this nation. I love this because do you know that you're a part of that move? You're a part of that move. The Holy Spirit is going to breathe on this land, but it's not going to be the land that acts and moves. It'll be you. It'll be you and I. And God has a mandate on each and every one. He has called you. He has purposed you. When you were created, you were not created without a purpose. You are not an accident, and you are here today for a purpose. Do you know that you're even in this house today for a purpose? This is no accident. Maybe you were invited to come out today and you're like, I don't even know how I got here today. For some of you, you may come out by default because it's what you've done for so long. Others of you will fully remember how you got here and the grace of God and that thread of grace on how you find yourself seated here today in the house of God. But not one of us are here by accident. Not one of us. Each and every one of us were designed, created with a purpose, and it is for this time, on this planet, in this season. And I love that it is confirmed this morning, brought through that word by Smith Wigglesworth, that there is a move coming for our nation. And I love it because it actually just amplifies this message that Gray and I are going to unpack this morning, which is an expansion on last week. Last week, we began to unpack that we actually need to challenge some of the areas of our world, some of our thinking, and more importantly, we really got specific on our values, because our behaviors actually flow out of our values. The decisions we make in a moment, an instant moment, but also an intentional decision, will actually flow from our values. And so last week, we did an internal check and had a look at what our values are. And I hope that you took that through the week and maybe had some thought around what have been my values. What are some of the things that by default I act out of, made decisions out of, I speak out of? Do some of them need to be realigned? Do some of them need to be laid down? And do I need to pick others up? And so last week we unpacked the values of a disciple, which of course you can actually find in our heartbeat document for City Point Church. And for anybody who would really love access to this, we actually have some on our information desk today. You can take this home and you can read over it and get it into your spirit. But it is the values and attitudes of a disciple, and That is what we're going to get really specific on this morning. And so I'm going to set this word up so that spirits are open to hear it. I'm going to ask you right now if you would make a decision this morning to open your spirits to the Word of God. The reason I would ask you to do this is because I know probably more than any man that I can sit in the house of God and not open my spirit to the Word, not open my spirit to His presence. I understand that actually sometimes it is a disadvantage that this is a part of my everyday world, that I can get familiar with it and forget to intentionally decide to open my spirit to the Word of God. So I'm going to ask right from the get-go, would you right now make a decision in your spirit to open your heart, open your ears, open your mind, open your spirit to hear a word this morning? And the reason I'm going to ask you to do that is because the word we would love to unpack together this morning is about what a disciple of Christ is like. And I think this is a really important thing for us to do because the Bible tells us to daily bring our lives into submission with the Word of God. Daily. Now, if it is actually encouraging us to do it, it means we must need the daily reminder or the daily challenge to bring. It means that without the challenge to our own life, we forget to operate out of the Word of God. We forget to operate in how He wants us to act. But we bring this out for a particular reason. Our mission at City Point Church is to unmistakably influence our worlds for good and for God. And we do this because the Great Commission was given to each and every one of us. My passage this morning is from Matthew 28, 18 to 20. You can follow along on the screens. It says this. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." Amen. It's a really powerful scripture. I don't know if you can see, it's broken into two parts. It says there in the beginning, go into all the world. Therefore, go and make disciples. But in the second part of it, it says, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. This verse has two sides to it. It has a commission for us to do for others, and it has a commission for us to do for ourselves. There is a key word in there that actually unpacks this whole word that we're going to bring out this morning about being a disciple, and that word is obey. Today, in our society, in our day and age, I shared this last week, we are living in a generation, and it is not just our younger generation, for older generations have adopted this and run with it. We make decisions, or we choose to make decisions for our lives that we never had to make choices on. It was already in the Word of God, the direction and the guidance on what we were to do, how we were to act, how we should respond, how we should speak, what we should do in these circumstances. We tend to make decisions in moments in our lives like we needed to make a decision, but it was already written for us. And so this morning, I would really love to take a moment to unpack what a disciple is. Every one of us has been commissioned with this mandate from Matthew 28. This is the purpose of our lives. We've been given the same ministry that Jesus did in his few years on this earth. He actually came as an example to show us each how to execute it. We are to tell the world the good news of the gospel, and we are to make disciples. Our different giftings do not alter this mandate for our lives, but rather amplify it, as it means there are many ways in which it will be executed. But what we all have in common is that we are to do it, and this is what actually defines us as disciples of Christ. The toughest thing we face with our mandate today is not our unwillingness to take up the call to make disciples. It's actually that we lack the know-how on the right way to do it. For so many of us, we have defined this task for our lives as guiding and correcting another person's spiritual knowledge and character. And although we may have really good intentions and motives, we still often fail in the process, and this is because of one main factor. We ourselves are not great at being discipled. As we unpack the word this morning, I pray you have ears to hear a word about being discipled. Being discipled is the only effective way to disciple others. The teachable are the only effective teachers. It's why some of the greatest scholars, professors, and teachers never stop their learning process. The teachable are the greatest teachers. And so this morning, I would love to unpack this, because we're going to take an examination of our position, our current position. And it's okay if this morning you've come in and you're not sitting in the right position. Do you know, I believe the Holy Spirit allows moments of truth. The word says the truth sets us free. That he allows moments of truth to touch our lives all the time, to set us free and to help us set our feet on the right path and move forward the right way. And so I'm going to ask that you have open ears to hear this morning as we unpack the characteristics of a disciple, so that you can take a self-examination and ask the Holy Spirit to pinpoint things in your life this morning. Before we unpack this incredible thing this morning together, the characteristics of a disciple, I'd love to just unpack a couple of ways for us to determine if we're not a great disciple of Christ. There is always two sides to a story, and there are some key things that the Bible unpacks to show us as like signposts to go, oh, it's time to come back in, it's time to be realigned, it's time to adjust your feet, it's time to get your heart right, it's time to press back into my spirit, it's time to get some counsel. There are signposts that we can each look for in our own lives to see if we have stepped out of the discipleship process. And let me tell you that if you are doing the discipleship process, if you are discipling others, it doesn't mean that you can't step out of the discipleship process yourself. In actual fact, I can speak from experience. There have been many, many, many times in my life that I have become so busy discipling others, I have not realized how far I have stepped out of the discipleship process myself. And what I'm actually now doing is become a dictator. And of course, we know in history how that goes for us. And I'm being really honest and vulnerable with you this morning, because that is the place in which we need to start to be a great disciple. And so there are just a couple of signposts in which we can look for. The first one is, if you have eyes on others. If you notice in your own world, and I'm not talking for others, if you have eyes on others, if you find it really easy to identify the faults, sins, weaknesses in others, this is a great signpost that you potentially are out of the discipleship process. Sometimes we take this even further and we speak about it, not to them, but to others. Sometimes we even call to action something to be done about the faults we can see in others. This is yet another signpost for our lives. Do you know what I know about experiences of coming back into alignment is that when I understand the grace and mercy of God for my life, he is what I see, not others. I have a grace for others, and I see gold when I am
asking God to highlight the things in my world that need to be adjusted. Another signpost is when there is a lack of wisdom in dealing with circumstances in your life, a lack of response, a lack of wisdom in your words, usually an impatience for the situation. It's another signpost. Because what you're looking for is for circumstances to change and not you change within them. Because God did not promise that he would rescue us from things, but he would be with us as we walked through them. And so something will happen within us. And so an incredible question to realign ourselves as we walk through tough situations is, what is it that you want to show me in and amongst what's happening in my life in this moment? Another signpost is that you will only receive God directly as your source for direction. Do you know, if truly the Holy Spirit is living and breathing within me, then he is living and breathing within Nathan, and he's living and breathing within Taya, he's living and breathing within Karen and Ryan and Henry. He's living and breathing within each and every one of us. And so, right here in this room is a living, breathing, incredibly powerful move of God, because sitting around you are men and women's hearts being moved by the power of God. This is the most common way in which the Holy Spirit will speak to help realign your heart. This is the most common way you will be discipled. And so that's yet another signpost. Graham and I are going to jump right now into then, so what does a disciple look like? Are you ready for this? You ready, church? Your heart's open and ready to receive? All right, we're going to do this. We're really excited to unpack this text that we are going to unpack together is written in our heartbeat document, of course, unpacked from the Word of God, but this is the characteristics of a disciple. And so a disciple is somebody who, number one, loves God. Deuteronomy 6:5 says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength.
As City Point disciples, we are dedicated followers of Christ. We are planted in the local church and love God's presence. We believe in his word wholeheartedly, and we are imitators of his character, obedient to his commands, and are involved in his purposes. God first loved us, and so we show him our love by being obedient. When he asks us to be faithful to his church, to serve his church, to trust him with our finances, to invite our friends to church, to read his word, and to pray, he knows that those things are good for us. He knows that peace, comfort, endurance, strength, and life change happens when we embrace these things and put him first. But it starts with recognizing that he loves us and wants good for us. Then we start to realize that just like he loved us, has loved us and brought us to know him, he also cares and loves for those who are currently far from him. This is why we do what we do, allowing God and others to disciple us so that we cultivate a heart of compassion for those who are lost, those who are broken, confused, addicted, frustrated, ashamed, and left out. We love because he first loved us. This is why.
A disciple engages and invites. 1 Corinthians 9:19-23 says this. Now, even though I am free from obligations to others, I joyfully make myself a servant to all in order to win as many converts as possible. I became Jewish to the Jewish people in order to win them to the Messiah. I became like one under the law to gain the people who were stuck under the law, even though I myself was not under the law. And to those who were without Jewish laws, I became like them as one without the Jewish laws in order to win them, although I'm not outside of the law of God, but under the law of Christ. I became weak to the weak to win the weak. I have adapted to the culture of every place I have gone so that I can more easily win people to Christ. I have done all of this so that I would become God's partner for the sake of the gospel.
We build relationship bridges, not religious walls. This is when we reach out to non-Christians and unchurched people to encourage, to bless, and to be their answer to prayer, to move them towards Christ and beyond. We intentionally build relationships, be an example, share our faith, and invite them to come along on the journey. This is why we engage and we invite.
A disciple disciples others. 2 Timothy 2, 1-2 says, "Timothy, my dear son, be strong through the grace that God gives you in Christ Jesus. You have heard me teach things that have been confirmed by many reliable witnesses. Now, teach these truths to other trustworthy people who will be able to pass them on to others."
God's word says this. It says, "Go into the world and make disciples, not go into the church." We are called to partner with them to grow in Christ and help them make disciples. Teach others what you know, to love God, to engage somebody else, to disciple others, to connect together and to serve generously. This is why we disciple other people.
A disciple connects together. Acts 2:46 says this. They followed a daily discipline of worship in the temple, followed by meals at home. Every meal a celebration, exuberant and joyful as they praised God. People in general liked what they saw. And so every day their number grew as God added to those who were saved.
Now we intentionally do life together with other believers for mutual growth, encouragement, accountability, fun, and making a difference. Family and strong relationships are our priority. Why should we attend church more than 1 to 2 times a month? Good question. Thank you, iPad. The truth is that even on weeks when we're not volunteering at church, we play a critical role, a crucial role. There's something significant about God's people gathered together with the intent of worshiping Him, learning from His word, and pointing others to the gospel and grace. There's power in numbers of God, in the numbers of God's people. By showing up, we're declaring that God's purposes that morning in church and in the lives of those who are far from Him are more important than anything else we've got going on in our lives. That's huge. His presence is more important than being tired, lazy, apathetic. Apathetic, worn out, bored, busy, or any other excuse we might throw out. Yeah. And when we do put God first in this practical way, we believe God honors that and works in our worlds. The truth is, we attend church not for ourselves, but because we care about the lost people that may be at church that day and were willing to lend our time and our prayers to ask God to bring them home to Him. This is why we connect together.
This is a disciple. A disciple serves generously. Matthew 16:25 says, "For if you choose self-sacrifice and lose your lives for my glory, you will continually discover true life. But if you choose to keep your lives for yourselves, you will forfeit what you try to keep."
So serving is all about making a difference. This is where we reach past ourselves and become involved in kingdom purposes, outworked through the local church. This is the giving of our time, our talents, and treasure to see more of His kingdom come to earth. No child ever wakes up in the morning and thinks, "Well, I'm really going to think about my parents and their needs before my own today. I'll ask them," my kids definitely don't do this, "I'll ask them what they need help with or consider their feelings and try to honor them as much as possible." As much as we would love that to be the case, it takes years of training, maturing, and learning to become the type of person who puts others first. You know, the same is often true for us spiritually. At first, we're primarily interested in feeding ourselves. As we grow, we begin to consider others, to consider what Christ has done for us, and to start to think about how we can offer our lives to Him and more and more. Unfortunately, our culture is saturated with Christian newborns, roaming from church to church, shopping what's best for them. None of them here today, but you know. The problem with this is that the mentality is that church is all about what I can get. But not so for disciples. When we meet Christ, we become increasingly aware that our life is not ours. We realize that God's grace for us is so incredible that we can't help but begin to offer our lives to Christ so that He can continue to reach others. We realize that we only met Jesus because someone else was willing to be used by God without an ulterior motive that God would do something for them. We serve because we love the lost. We love the lost because He first loved us. By serving in our local church, we're declaring our love and submission to Christ. By using our gifts and our time to do everything we can to make God's love known to those who are far from Him. This is why we serve together. This is us.
This is us. And this is the why. Do you know that when I was unpacking this word or studying out this word, it's obviously really interesting to go and explore the definition of a disciple. And the definition of a disciple is a person who can hear, heed, and obey. There's three parts to it. Hear. Now, you could do this two ways. Hear the word of God. Heed it, meaning accept it as wisdom, and obey it. Hear the counsel of a friend. Heed that wisdom. And obey it, even if you don't understand it yet. The discipleship process is a changing within us process. Every single one of us has to remain a student for us ever to be able to effectively teach. We must remain the greatest agents of change to be agents of change. And it's what we've been commissioned to do, every one of us, to be agents of change. But it begins in each and every one of us. And so I pray that this word this morning has challenged each and every one of us. For many of us will sit here today and be on the journey of discipleship ourselves. But for some of us, and I know that Gray and I sit in that category, we often forget that we too have to remain a disciple to effectively disciple. We have to have the daily discipline of realigning our hearts, spirits, attitudes, words, reactions to come into line with the Word of God. And this is not just so that we hold weight or our words hold weight when we speak into others. It's because we disciple others even through the example of our lives, and we're doing it regardless of whether we are actively on a discipleship journey or not. You are a change agent already, but you are influencing people's lives to choose life or choose death. And I'm being really strong here, but it's really great to speak truth because truth sets people free. And as change agents, that's the whole purpose, is we are here to see people set free. We are here to set people free. As a younger leader, I'll never forget a moment I had with an incredible leader in my life that God gifted me. And I remember at the time I felt like I was being challenged 24/7 in my character, in my attitudes, in my thinking, in my theology, in just about every area of my life. And I remember saying in frustration or in carnal response to this leader on this particular day, "Why are you so hard on me?" And he said, "Because you have ears to hear, you heed my word, and you always obey it before you understand it." Now, I can't say that every moment of my life has been like that, but I do remember it, because it has kept me in a space that when I've had people speak into my world, it's a reminder that it's possible to allow the Holy Spirit to speak. I may not always understand the vessel, but he'll speak anyway. Because he cares so much about my world. He cares so much about your world. He will send people along your path to speak. And sometimes you will understand the vessel and other times you won't. But the Holy Spirit wants to see growth around each and every one of our lives. And so he's calling us. He's pleading with us. He is knocking on the door of our heart saying, "Remain on the discipleship journey. Because I've called each and every one of you to an incredible purpose for your life. You have a sphere of influence, and I want you to be influential. And the best way you can do that is by having change constantly happen in your own lives." So this morning, as we close our eyes and bow our heads, I would love to just ask the Holy Spirit to take a moment to speak. And maybe that's already happened within this message. Maybe it's already happened in the service. Maybe it's already happened when the worship played this morning and we sung out boldly, "We need a move." I think about the words of that song, "We need a move," and that mountains are still being moved. I don't know about you, but I'm being really honest here this morning. My hand is up. Most of the time, the biggest mountains in my life is myself. The most stubborn things to be moved are my own attitudes, are my own brokenness, is my own brokenness. It's my own deficiencies. They are sometimes the largest mountains in the way. But we sung out with boldness this morning, mountains are still being moved. Giants aren't featuring often in the natural. It's because they are featuring still in the spiritual, but giants are still being slayed. And you know, I thought about the song as I sung it out this morning. As we sung out, "We need a move. We need a move." The lines moved to say, miracles happen when you move. And I wonder if that's when he moves the heart of man. Probably one of the hardest things on the planet to move. But Smith Wigglesworth spoke a word over this nation, and I wonder what would happen in this nation if an entire nation would allow their hearts to be moved by God. I am fairly confident that we would see a move of God in our nation. And so this morning I sung out. And I would ask that you right now in your spirit declare, if you're feeling the same way this morning, if you would declare this. When we sung out this morning, "This is a move," I was talking to my heart. This is a move. This is a move. Would you move this mountain? This is a move. Would you move my heart? Would you move my attitudes? Would you realign my attitudes, my heart, my character, my responses, my decisions? Would you move them so that we see a move? So that we see a move. Right now, let's just take a moment. If this word is spoken to you at any moment, I'm just going to ask you to ask the Holy Spirit to seal it in your heart and let him speak right now. He'll bring to your mind things that he's going, "I'd love to put my hand on that. I'd love to put my hand on that. I'd love to put my hand on that. Allow me to mold it. Allow me to move it. Allow me to change it. Allow me to shape it right now, Father." Pray for each and every person who has come in today. You know the reasons why they came out. You know what's brought them here today. I pray that you would speak to each and every one of us. Challenge us to be agents of change in our own worlds so that we are the most effective change agents for your world. Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, all eyes are closed and heads are bowed. I want to speak to a group of people this morning. And do you know, you may have come out to the services this morning, and this may be your very first time in the house of God. But this may be your 200th time in the house of God. And you've listened to the message this morning, and you have no idea if you're even on the journey of discipleship, because you're not sure that you are actually in relationship with Jesus. But this morning, something in this word, or during this word, or in our services when the team were worshiping, you felt the presence of God. That's Jesus knocking on the door of your heart. He's called each and every one of us, and He cares about you. He sees you. He knows you by name. You are not an accident. You were purposed and you were planned. And for the person right now who's just said in their head or heard in their head, that's not me, that's not me, except me, or you don't know what I've done in my life, it's not for me, it's for you. The Holy Spirit has heard that this morning, and He wants you to know this word is for you. It's for you this morning. If you have come out today and you're like, I don't know that I am in relationship with Jesus, or I've never made this decision, that's okay. Because right now in our service, you have an opportunity to answer that call, to respond to what you're feeling right now, which is the Holy Spirit just gently knocking, say, come into relationship with me. I want to show you the purpose and plan for your life. I want to show you that it is good. I want to show you that you don't do this alone anymore. I want to show you that my grace and my mercies were for you, that I went to the cross and I dealt with sin and shame and death for you. I want to reveal that, and I want to show you how much I love you. If that is you this morning in our service, you're saying, I want to respond. I want to respond to Jesus this morning. I want to be in relationship with Him. I can't do this alone anymore. I'm just going to ask, while nobody's looking around, would you slip your hand up? I'm going to see it. I will see your hand. I just want to pray with you this morning, because we're not supposed to do this journey alone. We're supposed to do it together. It is better done together. And so if there's anybody, I want to create an opportunity in a moment. Don't want to just move on really quickly when there is a place to take the time to ask, is there anybody here? I see that hand. Thank you. I see that hand. Is there anybody else in the service right now who would say, that's me this morning? I don't want to do this alone anymore. It's time to do this with Jesus. Is there anybody else right now? Just as I look across one more time. Amazing, amazing. Sir, this is the greatest decision you've ever made in your whole life. There is no better decision than the one you've made right now. And do you know, you heard people clap today and they rejoice with you, but all of heaven right now is rejoicing for the most incredible thing that has happened in your world today. I'm going to pray right now, and I'm just going to ask for you to just stand in agreement with my prayer. Father, right now, you saw a hand go up. Maybe there were others here this morning who felt that call to respond. You saw hearts open up this morning. And that's what you respond to, the faith of a heart opening up and saying, yep, that's me. No longer am I going to do this alone. I actually want to do it in relationship with Jesus from this day forward. And that's exactly what we choose to do today, to come into relationship with Jesus, knowing that He has made a way for us to be in relationship. I pray right now for this incredible man. Would you give him peace? Reveal yourself. Reveal your love for him, the plan and purpose that you have for him. Would he walk out of here today with assurance and not doubt anymore that you are his Savior, you are his help, his hope, his healing. You are everything to him.
I pray right now that your spirit so overwhelms him this morning and for the rest of this week that he is absolutely in awe of who you are and overwhelmed by your love for him. And we celebrate with all of heaven today that an incredible man made a decision to do life with Jesus and with the rest of us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Come on right now. Let's rejoice with all of heaven.